Welcome to VOA Learning English Weekend. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the program, we tell you about a sport you may have never heard about. Ice boating. We also talk about the latest racial controversy in the entertainment industry. But first, we report on freedoms, or their lack, around the world. The human rights group Freedom House has released its yearly report examining the state of freedom around the world. The new report finds 50 countries not free. Christopher Jones Cruz has more.
A human rights group says the slowing world economy, a crackdown on dissidents, and dislike of foreigners fleeing their country have led to a sharp drop in freedom around the world for the 10th consecutive year. Freedom House, a U.S.-based human rights group, measured freedom in 195 countries. Its Freedom in the World 2016 report shows a decline in 72 of those countries last year. It was the largest decline since the 10-year-long drop began. The report says 50 countries are not free and 59 partly free. It says levels of freedom were lowest in Syria, the Tibetan Autonomous Region of China, Somalia, North Korea, Uzbekistan, and Eritrea. Also on the list of least free countries were Turkmenistan, Western Sahara, Central African Republic, Sudan, Equatorial Guinea, and Saudi Arabia. The report says the Middle East and North Africa were the areas where people had the least freedom in 2015, followed closely by Eurasia. It says leaders of countries in those three areas increased their punishment of rights activists and other critics. Many democratic countries in Europe and North America continued to be rated free in the report. However, the report says civil liberties in democratic countries, especially in Europe, have been threatened as those countries deal with terrorist attacks and an increase in refugees. Many people have fled Syria and other conflict areas and have sought asylum in Europe. The United States had one of the top ratings in the report, but it also showed a drop in freedom. The report blames the influence of money in election campaigns, legislative gridlock, failed promises of open government, and racial discrimination for the drop. The group says the world's economic problems and fear of unrest caused the governments of Russia, China, and other countries to take stronger actions against their critics. It says Russian President Vladimir Putin continued his repressive policies and took action against independent journalists and those who support homosexuals. The report criticizes Putin for his continued support for rebels in eastern Ukraine and for ordering airstrikes to support the government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Freedom House says China's communist government increased its attacks on human rights lawyers, journalists, and minority rights activists. And it says China has expanded its targets to include labor and public health activists and defenders of women's rights. It notes that countries where freedom had declined sharply in 2014 had not improved in 2015. These include Thailand, Egypt, Crimea, and South Sudan. The report finds an increase in freedom in 61 countries, including Latin America. And it says there is a possibility that levels of freedom will increase in Iran and Myanmar this year. In Myanmar, the new government, led by the National League for Democracy, will face pressure to meet its promises to make the country freer. And in Iran, reformers are preparing for parliamentary elections next month. There will also be an election for the group that names the country's top religious leader. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Do you like to be outside in the cold of winter? Are you tired of the usual sledding and skiing activities? Learning English's Dan Friedell has the sport for you.
Who says you have to stay inside your home when it is cold outside? There is an unusual sport practiced in the northern United States, and the season only starts when winds start blowing and the temperature drops below 0 degrees Celsius. The sport is called ice boating. Clement Chua, who comes from a much warmer climate, is learning all about ice boating. He is an exchange student from Singapore and attends the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Chua signed up for an ice boating class because he wanted to do something he could not do at home. Ice boating is a most unique class, he says. One experienced ice boater calls the sport ephemeral. In other words, the conditions for ice boating do not happen very often. And when the conditions are right, they are not right for very long. You can go weeks in the winter when you can't go ice boating, says 81-year-old Lloyd Roberts. Roberts has been ice boating for 40 years. He says dedicated ice boaters make the sport a major event in their lives, just after funerals and weddings. The capital of ice boating in the United States is now the northeastern state of Maine. It once was New Jersey. But the capital moved north because Maine has warmer winters than before, and New Jersey's winters are sometimes too warm for good ice to form. Maine gets cold enough in the winter that lakes and ponds will freeze, but it is no longer so cold that the ponds are covered with snow. Chua says he does a lot of windsurfing back home in Singapore, a place where water sports are popular. The sport of ice boating also uses wind to power a small vessel, but that is where the similarities end. Ice boats are like small sailboats, but they have sharp blades designed for skimming over the ice. The boats catch the wind and move fast on clear, smooth ice. Roberts says there are only about 6 good ice boating days each winter. Jim Thieler is a serious ice boater. He says there is always a concern about getting wet because sometimes the ice is not strong enough to support the weight of both the boat and the boater. They say there's two kinds of ice boaters, those that have gone swimming and those who are going to. Me, personally, yeah, I've gotten wet up to my thighs before. That is why ice boaters always go out in groups and wear special equipment. You need to wear shoes with metal cleats to avoid slipping on the ice. You also need warm clothing because sometimes the wind will stop blowing, and boaters can stay in the cold for long periods before they make it back to land. They also carry ice picks so they can pull themselves out of the water in case the ice breaks. The ice boaters say it is easy to get started in the sport, but the costs for new gear and new boats add up fast. The cost may just be the price people have to pay when faced with the other option, spending the long winter indoors. I'm Dan Friedel.
Before we go to our American stories for today, here's a little news from the ever-entertaining world of entertainment. Elizabeth, Michael, and Marlon is a British comedy show based on an unconfirmed story of a road trip taken by Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, and Marlon Brando. But no one is laughing at the casting of Joseph Fiennes in the role of Michael Jackson. Joseph Fiennes is white. The late Michael Jackson was black. Hollywood is already dealing with controversy about the color of the upcoming Academy Awards. Like last year, there is not a single African-American nominee for an acting award. The lack of diversity has led to a planned boycott of the so-called white Oscars. Now, people are expressing their condemnation and shock about Elizabeth, Michael, and Marlon. A tweet Wednesday on BET's Twitter page read, "A white actor will play MJ, because we aren't whitewashed enough in Hollywood, apparently." Another Twitterer, at Nico Madden, posted this message, "So Joseph Fiennes, a white dude, is gonna play Michael Jackson. I say Denzel Washington plays Elvis in the next movie, just to be fair." Michael Jackson, known as the King of Pop, died in 2009 at age 50 of an accidental drug overdose. Jackson suffered from a condition called vitiligo that causes areas of a person's skin to lose color. After Jackson's death, investigators found a large amount of a skin lightening cream at his home. Elizabeth, Michael, and Marlon is based on a 2011 report in Vanity Fair magazine. It tells of a trip the three performers supposedly took just after the September 11th attacks in New York City. Michael Jackson had performed there the night before. The three reportedly shared a car and drove across the country. Stockard Channing plays Elizabeth Taylor, and Brian Cox plays Marlon Brando. The show is set for broadcast later this year in Britain.
Now, the VOA Special English Program, American Stories. Today, we complete the story Benito Sereno, written by Herman Melville. As we told you in earlier parts of our story, rebel slaves seized the ship San Dominic off the coast of Chile. they killed many of its officers and crew. The captain, Benito Sereno, was ordered to sail to Senegal. But first, he was forced to take the ship to the lonely island of Santa Maria, near the southern end of Chile. There, it could safely get water and supplies for the long, dangerous voyage to Africa. At the island, the rebels were surprised and frightened when they found an American ship anchored in the harbor. It also had stopped for water. Many of the rebels wanted to sail away, but their leader, Babo, opposed it. They had little food and water and could not go far. Babo created a story to keep anyone from suspecting that the Spanish vessel was in the hands of rebels and that its captain was a prisoner. At first, Babo seemed successful. The captain of the American ship, Amasa Delano, visited the San Dominic. He suspected nothing, although he was surprised by the general disorder on board. He also could not understand the strange behavior of its captain, Benito Sereno. Later incidents, however, began to worry him. Captain Delano grew more and more suspicious. At one time, he even feared that his life might be in danger. Twice, he caught the Spanish captain and his servant, Babo, with their heads together, whispering like two conspirators. It made Captain Delano wonder, were they plotting to kill him and seize his ship? Who were these men? Cutthroats? Pirates? Captain Delano grew nervous. Then he was happy to see his whaleboat off in the distance. It was returning with supplies for the Spanish ship. The sight of his boat calmed him. It made his suspicions and fear quickly disappear. He felt foolish for having had such dark thoughts. Now, here is Shep O'Neill with the rest of our story, Benito Sereno.
Captain Delano went down to Captain Sereno's cabin to cheer him up and say goodbye. "Better and better, Don Benito," he said as he entered the cabin. "Your troubles will soon be over." The American invited the Spanish captain to come aboard his boat for a cup of coffee. Sereno's eyes brightened, but then the light in them died. He shook his head and said he could not accept the invitation. Captain Delano was offended. He was about to withdraw when Don Benito rose from his chair and took Delano's hand. The Spaniard's hand shook, and he was too excited to speak. Delano pulled his hand away and turned, climbing back to the deck. His face was troubled. Captain Delano could not understand Don Benito's actions. One minute, the Spaniard was warm and polite. Then, just as quickly, cold and hostile. Captain Delano asked himself, "Why did he refuse to join me? Why is he so unfriendly?" Captain Delano got to the deck and was about to step down into his boat when he heard his name. To his surprise, Don Benito was calling, coming quickly toward him. Captain Delano was pleased and turned back to meet him. Don Benito warmly took his hand, with more energy and emotion than he had ever shown. But his excitement seemed too much for him, and he could not speak. Babo then came between the two men and put his arm around Don Benito to support him. Clearly, he wanted to end the meeting between the two captains. Walking between the two men, Babo went with them to the walkway. Don Benito would not let go of Captain Delano's hand. He held it tightly across his servant's body. Soon, they were standing by the ship's side, looking down into the American boat. Its crew turned up their wondering eyes. Captain Delano did not know what to do as he waited for Don Benito to let go of his hand. He wanted to step down into his boat, but Don Benito still firmly held his hand. Then, in an excited voice, the Spaniard said, "I can go no further. Here I must say goodbye. Farewell, my dear, dear Don Amasa. Go, go," and he tore his hand loose. "Go, and God protect you better than he did me. Go, Don Amasa, my best friend." Captain Delano was deeply moved. He would have stayed for another minute or so, but he caught the eye of Babo. It seemed to say, "This is bad for Don Benito's health." And so he quickly took the short step down into his boat with the continuing farewells of Don Benito, who stood rooted at the ship's side. Captain Delano sat down in the back of his boat, gave Don Benito a last salute, and ordered his men to push off. The boat began to move. Suddenly, Don Benito sprang over the side and came down at Delano's feet, and he kept shouting toward the Spanish ship. His cries were so wild that no one could understand him. An American officer asked, "What does this mean?" Captain Delano turned a cold smile upon Captain Sereno and said he neither knew nor cared. "It seems," he added, "that the Spaniard has taken it into his head to give his people the idea that we want to kidnap him. Or else," and suddenly Captain Delano shouted, "Watch out for your lives!" He saw Babo, the servant, on the rail above with a dagger in his hand. He was ready to jump. What followed happened so quickly that Captain Delano could not tell one incident from another. They all came together in one great blur of violent action and excitement. As Babo came down, Captain Delano flung Don Benito aside and caught the rebel leader, pulling the dagger from his hand. He pushed Babo firmly down in the bottom of the boat, which now began to pick up speed. Then Babo, with his one free hand, pulled a second dagger from his clothes and struck at Captain Sereno. Captain Delano knocked it from his hand. Now he saw everything clearly. Babo had leaped into the whaleboat, not to kill him, but to kill Captain Sereno. For the first time, he understood the mysterious behavior of Don Benito, a prisoner under sentence of death. He looked back at the Spanish ship and got a clear picture of what its captain had escaped. On board the San Dominique, the shouting rebels were raising their axes and knives in a wild revolt. They stopped some of the Spanish sailors from jumping into the sea. A few, however, jumped, while two or three who were not quick enough went hurrying up the topmost wood arms. Captain Delano signaled to his ship, ordering it to get its guns ready. When the whale boat reached his ship, Captain Delano asked for ropes. He tied Babo and had him pulled up on deck. A small boat was quickly sent out to pick up three Spanish sailors who had jumped from Captain Sereno's ship. Captain Delano asked Don Benito what guns the rebels had. He answered that they had none that could be used. In the first days of the rebellion, a cabin passenger, now dead, had destroyed the few guns there were. The Americans fired six shots at the San Dominique, but the rebel ship moved out of reach. Small boats were armed and lowered. Captain Delano ordered his men into them, and they moved out to capture the rebel ship. The boats caught up with the San Dominique when it was nearly night. But the moon was rising, and the gunners were able to see where they were shooting. The rebels had no bullets, and they could do nothing but yell. Many of the rebels were killed, and the San Dominique was captured. After an investigation, Babo was found guilty of stealing a ship and of murder, and was hanged. Captain Benito Sereno never was well again, and he soon died. So ended the terrible story of the slave revolt aboard the slave ship, the San Dominique.
You have just heard the American story, Benito Sereno. It was written by Herman Melville. Your storyteller was Shep O'Neill. Join us again next week for another American story in VOA Special English. I'm Faith Lapidus.
I'm Katie Weaver. That's all the time we have today. Thanks for listening.